So what does it mean to live the American dream? Well, this is something NPR editor Malika Gharib has been thinking about since she was a child.
When I was growing up, my mom would always say,
"You have to be better than us."
She never explained what she meant by that, but I understood. I had to somehow rise above my parents' life in America. But how?
Malika was born and raised in California. Her mother immigrated from the Philippines, and her dad came from Egypt. They have since divorced, and her dad's back in Egypt now. When she was in high school in California, Malika says that wherever she went, she always got the same question. What are you?
I found it really hard to answer. Well, I'm Egyptian-Filipino. I grew up with my Filipino family here in Cerritos. I eat rice every day, and I went to Catholic school, but my dad is a Muslim who lives in Egypt. I spend my summers with him. I can understand Tagalog and Arabic, so I guess both? Well, I kind of feel more Filipino because that's who I spent more time with.
Yeah, it's complicated. That is Malika Gharib reading from her new book. It's a graphic memoir about her journey. It is called I Was Their American Dream, and she joins me now in the studio. Hi, Malika.
Hello.
So you are here with two special guests. Do you want to introduce them for us?
Yes. My mom, Fleur-de-Lis San Pedro, here with me in the studio in Washington.
Hello.
And my dad, Maged Gharib, in Cairo, in his home.
Yes.
Well, Malika, you grew up surrounded mostly by your mom's extended Filipino family, and you wrote about feeling like your family was different than sort of your vision of the typical American family that was in your head. Can you just tell me about a couple of the little details that made you feel different?
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird feeling to have the way that you live with your family and your community and then turn the TV and it's like something totally different. So, like, I mean, on TV, people are always talking about like allowances and stuff. And so I one time asked like my mom, like, "Oh, like, can I like get like $5 if I wash the dishes?" And she was like, "No, we don't do that here." That was one example. The other example was like, I always wanted to eat frozen food for some reason. Like, I thought that like kids' cuisine was like the epitome of fine dining in American culture. And I remember like begging my mom, "Please, like, instead of eating like sinigang or like adobo for dinner, like, can we just please have the kid cuisine because it comes with a dessert?"
You're talking about like frozen dinners and stuff?
Yeah, the frozen kids cuisine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets.
Yeah, mom, let me ask you, how did you feel about that? Did you ever worry that Malika was not experiencing the American experience that was in her mind?
Well, you know, kids growing up here, they have moms and dads, and Malika went to private school. So I felt like she was not alienated, but maybe being thought of in a different way because she was brought up by a single mom. So maybe part of the American dream was bringing a pair up together as a family, but I had to be mom and dad for her when she was growing up, and my extended family who helped her.
Well, we should say, though, that you, Malika, you would see your dad in during the summers when you would go to Egypt,
which, yeah,
which must have made you think about your culture even more. Was that tough to go back and forth between two different worlds?
It was, because, like, I think I wanted my dad to understand American subculture, and he just, like, by the time I was like 14 or 15, like, I remember trying to explain Blink 182 to my dad once. Like, I was like so into it. It's like the coolest band. And he was like, "Okay, cool." I was just like, "No, it's like the coolest band ever, Dad." And I brought my skateboard to Egypt once. And like, I was telling my dad I wanted to like skate around the streets. And he was like, "Are you sure about you want to do that?" And I did. And it was like the worst decision ever because everybody was like looking at me and thought I was like super weird. And I never brought my skateboard back to Egypt again.
Is that how you remember it, Mr. Gharib?
No, I don't remember that. Right?
But Daddy, didn't you ever think I seemed like an alien to you? Like, did you feel like it was weird? No.
When you start wearing black and black and black and
there we
putting
go. That's
everything
exactly what I'm
black,
talking about.
Yes. And she brought her skating board with her. And of course, this was like in Egypt, it was like, wow. And kids are looking at her like, what is this? She's coming out of this, out of the space.
Out of space? But oh my God.
Out of
outer space.
As an alien, out of space.
Malika, I just think back to that question that you would be asked, what are you? And you were at a really diverse California high school. Like, did that help? Because it sounded like in the book, like, even though there was a lot of diversity in the school, like, things were really still complicated and difficult for you.
I think it helped because, you know, when you're in a school as diverse as Cerritos High, you really need to know the nuances of culture between everybody. You had to know that there's a difference between people from Pakistan and people from India. You had to know the nuance between the Korean kids who came from Korea and the Korean kids who grew up in the States. But what made it hard was that at least all the, you know, Hispanic punk kids could hang out together, and all the Taiwanese Magic the Gathering kids could hang out together. For somebody who's like half Filipino-Egyptian, like, I couldn't just like go to those groups.
But you wrote about that you wanted to know white people.
Yes.
What was going on in your mind?
I loved white people at the time. As a teenager, I thought they were so hot, and I was so obsessed with like these like heartthrobs that you could find in like teeny bopper magazines, and I saw them glorified. I mean, I didn't know it at the time, but I saw them all over the media and like magazines and books and films. And I just thought that like I wanted to be like them because I thought they were so cool. And my high school definitely didn't have any white people. So I think that's what made them more like special and rare.
Was there some moment when you look back and you remember like, okay, that was the moment when I just felt like I could be me. I could be my own heritage and just own it.
I didn't actually feel that way until very recently in my adult life. It took me a long time to understand that I'm very proud of being Egyptian and Filipino, and I don't know why I have to continually suppress that to favor another ethnicity, to be part of the normal idea of what is normal American. I just was sick of it. I'm 33 now, and like, I just grew up and said no more.
Well, there's a final scene of the book, and I will, total confession, like I got a few happy tears in my eyes for you because it was really powerful. But you're floating down the Nile River with your husband, Darren, and I thought maybe it would be best if you just read that part.
I knew we'd be back here with our children. I probably won't be able to translate Arabic for them or understand the local customs, but they'll be able to feel the sun on their face and the wind in their hair, and they'll know someday, somehow, that all of this is a part of them, too.
Malika, thanks so much for coming and talking to us about your book and Bring Your Parents.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Daddy. Love you.
I love you too, Malika.